It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and 19 is speaking about prayer. And he says in verse 19, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." And we spoke about how that Paul the Apostle not only wanted people to pray for each other and you know, pray for the lost. And once again, each saint needs to be praying for the other saint, the brothers and sisters in Christ. And we've also seen, as we've studied this scripture, and Christ had the following to say in Matthew 13 and 18. What was that he said? He was talking about the sower going forth and giving out the word of God. And as we studied that in chapter 13 of the book of Matthew, we discover, as we looked at that and as we look at it and you go back and read it, you discover that some people will be saved and some people will not. And it's not because of the seed that the sower, and that's you and me, those who know Jesus as Savior, we sow the seed. That seed is the gospel. That seed is what goes forth and does the job. That seed is what helps individuals know about Jesus Christ. When we give out the gospel, some will be saved and some will not. Do we quit when people whom we witness to do not get saved? Well, I think you know the answer to that. The answer, of course, is no. We do not quit giving out the gospel, no matter what. This is another reason we are to pray for each other, and that is pray for each other before discouragement happens. And when a brother or sister decides to throw in the towel, we've already talked to the Lord, asking Him to give the strength needed by a brother or sister to keep on keeping on. We need to pray for each other as the children of God. Well, when Paul was a prisoner at Rome, did he give up preaching the word? Well, the scriptures have the answer to that. You go to Acts chapter 28, verses 30 through 31, and it says this, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concerned the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him." I believe the only way Paul could do that is with prayer, that people prayed for him. And, of course, he prayed for himself that he'd be able to do this. But God answers prayers. And we need to pray and ask God's blessings upon not only ourselves as we go forth to bring the Word of God to people, to take the Word of God. We need to pray for other individuals taking the Word of God. And I believe that we need to pray by name. If we know the name of the individual that is taking the Word of God out, we need to pray for that person by name. I believe that the church at Ephesus, as we've been studying that in Ephesians chapter 6, I believe the church at Ephesus were prayers. They prayed for Paul. They prayed for him that he could give out the word of God. And we see that Paul didn't stop. He kept preaching. He was there for a whole 2 years in his own hired house, and he kept preaching. I believe Paul could preach with all confidence. First, because he knew the gospel was true. And secondly, I believe God answered the prayers of the saints of God who had prayed for him to keep on keeping on. You and I need to pray for the people of this world who are going out and presenting the gospel to people, presenting the gospel to unsaved people. And not only that, I believe that we need to be praying for those individuals who are saved, who need to be trained, who need to be taught the Word of God. We need to pray for those individuals who are teaching the Word of God to save people, so that those people who have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior can grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the way they grow is by getting into the Word of God. And as teachers, we are to teach them to get into the Word of God so that they can grow thereby. The Scriptures teach this. Well, as we keep studying about Paul the Apostle, Paul also asked in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19, he says that I may open my mouth boldly. See, he was in Rome. He was almost alone. He was surrounded by multitudes of the wicked. He was exposed to death. Yet, he desired to speak boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to invite sinners to repentance. Now, Paul asked the church at Ephesus to pray for him. A Christian in chains. He was in chains and he was surrounded by the wicked, and he asked these people to pray for him that he could speak boldly and that he could have confidence that his preaching would please the Lord and that many would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We need to pray for each other. I cannot emphasize that enough. We need to pray that the Word of God goes forth unhindered. We need to pray that people will have confidence who goes out and gives out the Word of God, that the Word of God's going to do the job. It's not going to be them, but it's going to be the Word of God that does the job. We're simply vessels that have been sent as ambassadors to this lost and dying world to tell them about Jesus saving all of those who would come to Him, faith believing. Well, as we study about Paul, some would question just how successful was the efforts of Paul in giving out the gospel while he was a prisoner in Rome. He was under arrest. Well, I believe, once again, the Scriptures are plain. The Scripture's plain about this. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 22, it says, "All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household." Well, notice what I see here. I believe not only did the visitors who came to see Paul, yes, he was allowed to have visitors, but not only those visitors who came to see Paul while he was under house arrest got saved, but that also soldiers and others working for Caesar got saved as well. How do I know this? Philippians 4:22 says, all the saints, that means people who would come to see him, that doesn't mean that every one of them got saved, but all those who did get saved, all those saints, it says, salute you. And chiefly, they that are of Caesar's household. Now, he didn't hold grudges. He did not hold a grudge against those soldiers who chained him up and who were around him. He did not hold grudges against these people. How do I know? Because he led them to the Lord. He says, chiefly, they that are of Caesar's household. I believe he led the help in Caesar's household to be saved. Those who served, some of them got saved. Why? Because Jesus saves anyone who will come to him faith believing. And Paul let people know this, that anyone who would call upon the name of the Lord could be saved. It made no difference. Paul would tell them, it makes no difference who you are and what you've done in your life. You can be saved by trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, Paul continues on here, and he says in verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 6, the mystery of the gospel. Well, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 9 through 14, the Bible talks about the mystery. And I want to read that just now. And I pray, once again, I encourage you to have your Bible open so that you can read along with me and make sure that I'm reading the Scripture. Make sure that I'm telling you the truth. I do use the King James Bible, and I believe it is the Word of God. It is the inspired Word of God. It is God-breathed. That means God is the author of it. Now, God used men such as Paul to write down the words, but the Bible says God used holy men of old as they were moved by the Holy Spirit to pin down the words. So when we read the Word of God, once again, I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. When we read the Bible, we're looking at what God wants us to see, at what He wants us to have. Notice with me Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 14. in whom we have redemption through his blood. This is speaking about Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery, notice the word mystery, of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Well, notice that the mystery of the gospel is that Jesus saves. That's what those verses are telling us there in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 14. The mystery of the gospel is that Jesus saves. It is no longer a mystery, because those of us who are saved for service to our Lord. It's no mystery that we're saved to do that, to do his will. We have received an inheritance. That's not a mystery. We've received an inheritance. Now, we haven't received it fully yet, but one day when we're with the Lord, we will receive that inheritance. Actually, we can actually say we have received it, because we have received eternal life. The word predestined is used there, and many people take this out of context. What does it mean? We are predestined after we get saved to do his will, because we've trusted in him. We've trusted Jesus Christ, and because of that, we are to give ourselves fully to him. We are to present ourselves a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto him. It's our reasonable service, according to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, that we are predestined after we get saved to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be used of him, to let him use us as he pleases. Predestined after we get saved to do his good will, because we have trusted in him. And the Bible goes on to tell us in those verses we read in Ephesians chapter 1, 7 through 14, that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. He is the guarantor. And in other words, he is the one that makes certain of our salvation. He's the one that has taken care of everything for us. John chapter 10, verses 28 through 30, it says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Do you believe Jesus Christ? Do you believe what he has said to us? Do you believe that Jesus could ever lie? Of course you don't. You don't believe that he could lie. Verses 28 through 30 of John chapter 10 says, "And I give unto them eternal life." That Jesus speaking to us, "And they shall never perish." The saved person will never perish. "Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Jesus Christ has given us eternal life. We are predestined for heaven now because we have trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Trust him today. Let him guide and lead your life.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.